Welcome once again, as we gather together with the purpose of worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to bring honor and glory to His name forever and ever. Now, even though we are not with each other in a building, we can still be with each other in spirit. Now, there have been some positive things that have come out of this coronavirus, and I just want us to stay focused on some of those things. For example, the people who would have never stepped into our church have been watching our services online. And I can't help but believe that the Holy Spirit can use this to advance the kingdom of God. So just remember that when life deals out lemons, let's make lemonade. Now, folks, last week was Easter, and we talked about how the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. The main thing is keeping focused on the importance of the resurrection of Jesus. And I hope and pray that if you have not accepted the need of the resurrection for your life, that you're seriously contemplating this question. I know that this is oftentimes a question that people wrestle with because there are so many voices out there bidding for our attention. Well, the Corinthians had the same issue we have. There are a lot of different views regarding the resurrection of Jesus and its importance to us as individuals. Today, we're going to be in a lengthy passage of Scripture. So let's go there now. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to invite you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 28. And the Apostle Paul says, "But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that He has raised Christ from the dead. But He did not raise Him if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are all people most to be pitied. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in turn. Christ, the first fruits, then when He comes, those who belong to Him. Then the end will come when He hands over the kingdom to God, the Father, after He has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. For He must reign until He has put all His enemies under His feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death, for He has put everything under His feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under Him, it is clear that this does not include God Himself, who put everything under Christ. When He has done this, then the Son Himself will be made subject to Him who put everything under Him, so that God may be all in all." So, let's try and break this down into some bite-sized pieces by looking at these three things. The first is the what-if questions that Paul asks. Second, faith is not chance, but it's choice. And third, the resurrection changes everything. So first, in verses 12 through 19, Paul begins with a series of what-if questions. You know, sometimes the best thing to do in order to make your point and to understand something is to ask questions. So let's look at those what-if questions. Have you ever struggled with what-if questions when it comes to your faith? Have you ever asked yourself maybe questions like these? What if Christianity is a farce? What if my faith is a psychological trick? What if the Bible is simply a myth? What if there is no afterlife, no God, no judgment? You see, I had a season in my life when I wrestled with what-if questions, and I want to be totally honest with you. I still have questions, simply because I cannot understand the mind of God. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9 reminds us, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I don't have a doubt about my salvation now, but there are things I don't know. And I think if we're all going to be honest, we all have questions because there are just things we don't know. Some of my what-if questions before I was a Christ follower were, what if the Bible has it all wrong? What if Jesus isn't really the Son of God? What if God doesn't think I'm good enough? What if I make a mistake? What if questions have plagued every honest Christian? But maybe you don't consider yourself a Christian, and yet you've also had some what if kinds of questions. Perhaps you've wondered, what if Christianity is true? What if this Bible is God's word? What if Jesus is God's son and he actually did rise from the dead? What if salvation really comes through faith in Christ? See, what if questions have also plagued every honest, thoughtful person. And that's what Paul is doing here. Paul throws down the gauntlet with his one what if question. And based on how the Corinthian Christians answer that determines the fate of their faith. Paul's question is, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then what? If Christ is not raised, the consequences for a fallen world are catastrophic. If the resurrection is not true, then the pillars of that uphold the Christian faith, they crumble to dust. So, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then preaching the gospel, well, it's useless. The good news is rendered no news. Actually, it's worse than that. It's bad news. For apart from the resurrection, Jesus has not conquered suffering, sin, or death. Without the resurrection, Jesus' death was just another death at the hands of the Romans, and there is no significance whatsoever. I've spent many years and lots of dollars to have a Christian education from a Bible college and a seminary so that I can be as equipped as possible to preach the gospel. But if Christ did not rise, which I believe he did, then my preaching is absolutely useless. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then faith in Christ is worthless. Faith in a corpse buried somewhere in the Middle East, well, it won't bring redemption to any of us. If Christ did not rise from the dead, then the gospel isn't good news, but a hoax that has no real power to change lives or to do anything else except to deceive. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then we are liars. To deny the resurrection is to make liars of the apostles and every gospel preacher and every Christian who shares their faith. Listen, if you've claimed that Jesus rose and he didn't, you've led a lot of people astray, and so have I. Remember, Christianity isn't a psychological system or a moral code, but the declaration of what God has done in and through Christ. If the dead aren't raised, then the whole gospel is a sham, and those who preach it are liars. Jesus, too, is a liar, for he said to Martha concerning her brother Lazarus' death in John 11, 25 through 26, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? This is the question we all have to answer. Do you believe this? Next, if Christ is not raised from the dead, then your faith is futile. Scripture is nothing but an outdated volume of pointless historical books. Missions and evangelism are a colossal waste of time, energy, and money. We do not spend effort and resources peddling Narnia and the Middle Earth and Pinocchio, and we should not waste our time pushing the ancient tale if Christ is not raised from the dead. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then listen, we're still slaves to sin. Our world remains captive to sin, still enslaved to death without the resurrection of Jesus. The Apostle Paul also stated this very clearly in his letter to the church in Rome, in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Without the resurrection, the latter part of that verse is a hoax. There is no eternal life because we would still be caught up in sin and death. Paul also reminds us in Romans 4:25 when he says, He, Jesus, was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. If Jesus is not raised from the dead, then we will never taste eternal life, and we are still slaves to sin, and we will all spend eternity separated from God. Here's another one. If Christ is not raised from the dead, then we're pathetic. Paul puts it this way. If Christ be not raised, then we are of most men to be pitied. And that word pity can be translated as pathetic. And I believe that's more to the heart of what the Apostle Paul is saying. Indeed, this is why the world, as Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1, sees the cross of Christ as foolishness. If every part of the gospel is not true, then we will have spent our days pursuing a God who will not benefit us beyond the grave. Not only are we objects of pity, the skeptics around us will indeed have the final laugh. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men most to be pitied. For Paul, this is the ultimate argument because he unequivocally states that if Christ isn't raised, we're just fooling ourselves. If Christ is still in the tomb, then Richard Dawkins and Christopher Hitchens, they're right. And all the rest of the skeptics are right. If there's no foundation to our faith, then we're nothing but self-deluded, pathetic fools. Now, I know we all have questions. But we can also have hope because faith is not chance, but by choice. Now, some people will tell you that even if Christianity isn't true, the Christian faith is still the best way to live. You've probably heard people say things like this: even if it turned out Jesus Christ didn't rise from the dead and there's no heaven, I would still have no regrets about living the Christian life. You might have said that yourself at some point, yet the Apostle Paul, he vehemently disagrees with that view. That's why we would be considered pathetic fools. If the only promise of the Christian faith applies to this life, then why believe in it? Why believe in a faith that can bring persecution, poverty, ostracism, sorrow, and death? Why lose out on all the self-essential pleasures that this world has to offer? If the ultimate fate is the same for everyone, why not eat, drink, and be merry? Why deny yourself all the pleasures of the world? Why be miserable if the other worldviews bring death as well? If there's no God, no resurrection, no judgment, why bother? See the tension? This is disturbing and it's gut-wrenching. Thank God Paul didn't stop writing with verse 19, but in verse 20, it stands like a majestic lighthouse pointing the way to hope, safety, and salvation. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who are asleep. But now, consider how much hangs on those two little words. But now, Jesus' resurrection, our future resurrection, and the resurrection of previous believers depend on those two little words, but now. Paul states that Christ has been raised from the dead. Notice, Paul doesn't defend Christ's resurrection. He assumes it and states it as fact. Christ has been raised from the dead. Verse 21, he says, the first fruit of those who are asleep. The imagery of first fruit links to the feast of first fruits in the Old Testament. The first fruit were ripened sheaves of barley harvest waved before the Lord in the temple the day after the Sabbath of the Passover week, which would be Resurrection Sunday. On this day, at the beginning of the grain harvest, the Israelites brought the first sheaf of harvested and dedicated it to the Lord. This offering assured the Israelites that the rest of the harvest would follow. In this context, Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, the first person to be raised from the dead permanently. His resurrection assures us that someday there will be a complete harvest. Easter is good. Easter is God's great amen to Good Friday. Jesus cried out, "It is finished." God said, "Amen," when he raised his son from the dead. And because he is alive forever, we can know our faith is real and our sins are forgiven. When Jesus said, "It is finished," he was saying that nothing more could be or needed to be done to make man's sin, to take man's sin and make man right with God. The resurrection solidified this proclamation. What good news! We've been promised a resurrection because Jesus rose. The resurrection changes everything. Now, I know some of you are asking the question, does Jesus' resurrection really matter to me today? And the answer is this: yes, it does. The resurrection of Jesus changed everything. It's the most important event in human history. And it proves three things. First, it proves that Jesus is exactly who he claimed to be. He repeatedly said that he was the Son of God who came to die for our sins. And he did just that. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most well-documented events in history. It would stand up in any court of law. In fact, it has many, many times throughout the centuries. Remember the passage we read last week in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. For what I received, Paul said, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then He appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, He appeared to me also. Second, the resurrection proves that Jesus keeps His promises. Jesus told His disciples that He would be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Because Jesus kept that promise, you can trust the other promises in the Word of God. Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 22. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. In verse 22, He set His seal of ownership on us and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. What a promise. Third, the resurrection proves that there is life after death. Because of Jesus Christ's resurrection, we have hope for the future. And it's a hope that will not disappoint. Jesus had a very tender conversation with His disciples in John 14, 1 through 7, and said this, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going." Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you'll know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Where else are you going to get a promise like that? Nowhere. Where else do you hear a promise from someone like that? Nowhere. If you don't get it from Jesus, you won't have it. This is an amazing benefit, and it's available to you today. What's the qualification? You must believe. That's what John 3:16 is all about. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And that belief is not just about a virgin birth or some miracles and some ministry and a death on a cross, but it's about the most important thing, and that's the resurrection. A faith that is not futile is found in the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the death and resurrection of Jesus, and it gives us access to God. In other words, we can only get to heaven by trusting in God through His Son, Jesus Christ, and the power of His resurrection. I want to close with Paul's statement in Romans 10, 9 through 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Folks, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the most important event in the history of the world. And there is no greater decision you will ever make in your life than whether you believe it or not. It's completely up to you. It's your choice. What will you choose today? Let's pray. Father, we want to come to you and we thank you for your word that gives us hope, that gives us truth, that allows us to know that the resurrection of Jesus is the most important thing that any of us could ever make a decision about. And God, my prayer is that your Holy Spirit is working on the hearts and minds of those who are hearing this message today, that they would surrender to your Lordship, that they would give their lives over to you completely, that they would honor you with their lives by declaring that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And it's in the name of Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You guys have a great week.